Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Language is a beautiful paradox. It is one of the things that all human beings on the planet share. We all have a language. And yet, this is one of the things that divide us the most. When I was assigned to do that documentary for Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, I was really excited. Being a French-Canadian from Quebec City, living in the Okanagan, BC, the relationship between French and English is a subject close to my heart. But I wasn't sure where to start. The goal of this project is to help building bridges between cultures. So I met with David Lecoe, a second-year master's student in linguistics at UBC, who also studied in French and anthropology, and who was raised in a bilingual family, having a Francophone mother from New Brunswick and an Anglophone father. I asked him if he thought it was difficult to build bridges between cultures.
I think it takes time. I think it's definitely not something that you can do overnight. It's not an easy process. And it's something that comes from honestly connecting with people on a personal level, and also having that understanding. It's kind of like those being able to see eye to eye on equal level to be able to build a bridge, right? You're not going to want to build a bridge from a prairie to a mountain. You're going to want to actually have it on the same level. And so you want to be able to actually to build bridges. It's all about kind of building the relationships, and it's like, I don't want to frame it as like a give and take, but it kind of is. You have to give a little bit of yourself and be vulnerable just as much as the other person is willing to give themselves and be vulnerable in that situation.
Indeed, the natural way to fill the gap between people with differences is through relationships. Getting to know each other. I found that there is here, though, another paradox of the language. Developing a relationship between two people who don't have the same mother tongue sounds to me like a big challenge. Yet, people are doing it all the time. And so did Philippe and Sylvie.
Oh, they'll love you, though.
Anyway.
Because they're going to hear it in her voice,
My name is Sylvie.
Français, content d'être au Canada. My name is Philippe Klein.
Before I interviewed them, I didn't realize how much they had in common. They're both Francophones who left the safety of their birthplace to immerse themselves into the sea of English. They both undertook a long migration in search of a new life, thinking that the traveling would last a year, but they never went back. Something, or should I say someone, was waiting for them here in the Okanagan, and we're gonna come to that. But first, let's hear a little bit about their journey.
Là, il regarde mon dossier. Ah, OK, ouais, on a un petit cancer. J'ai dit quoi? Il dit, oui, c'est cancéreux. J'ai tabarnak. C'est comme si tu venais de me donner une claque dans la face, toi, là, là. Ça fait qu'il dit, bon, ben, j'ai dit, moi, ce que je fais, là.
In 1997, Sylvie was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was a shock. For a while, she didn't know she would survive.
Je me suis pleuré, puis tatata, c'est quoi qui se passe? Ben, elle dit, là, elle dit, c'est parce que... Puis là, j'ai dit, ben, t'as qu'à me dire, je vais mourir. Ben, elle dit, si c'est rendu là, tu sais ça.
Fortunately, the treatments went well, and she did not die. She confessed to me that when all of this was happening to her, she asked God to give her 10 more years. She's thankful that he gave her 20, and now she jokes that she wants at least to be able to cash her first pension check.
En tout cas, année par année, au moins toucher mon premier chèque de pension. Hein, Guy, au moins.
Maybe the big decision Sylvie took 18 years ago helped her heal. Right after her final treatment, she left everything. The good job she had at the CHSLD, her family, her ex-husband, all her belongings, and she started traveling west with her boyfriend Guy. She asked her doctors if it was safe to do that. They were all in favor, saying that it was at least 50% of her recovery.
Là, j'en ai parlé à mes médecins. Fait que là, j'ai dit, oh, j'ai dit, je m'en vais dans l'Ouest pour un an. J'ai dit, ils ont dit, Sylvie, c'est 50% de ta guérison. Fais-les.
At 57 years old, she went on a great adventure, hitchhiking across the country with a small tent, her boyfriend, and not a word in English.
Tant que j'étais en France, j'étais bien posé. J'avais quand même une bonne situation, un bon travail. J'avais ma place. Mon logement à moi.
For Philippe, the reason why he decided to start traveling came from a different place, but what he was seeking was similar than Sylvie. He was younger and didn't go through the trauma of a cancer, but he didn't feel like his life was fulfilling, caught in the fast pace of the wheel, running for everything, working a lot, and partying hard.
Courir pour aller au travail, courir pour revenir, courir pour payer tes factures et tes tickets de vitesse et compagnie. Travailler fort, faire la fête fort, tout ça. Mais il fallait quelque chose pour me construire un peu mieux.
Here we go, two vulnerable Frenchies making their way into the wild Western Canada. What was waiting for them?
Bonjour, je m'appelle Marianne. Who flew into town one day, just got off the bus, you know, looking with his backpack, looking for a job in cheese making at that time. So he was taking job interviews all around BC, and okay. He arrived in Salmon Arm, he was lost. So he came into my coffee shop to ask for directions. Yes. And I gave terrible directions, absolutely terrible. But he kept coming back. I thought he was like the cutest guy I've ever seen. He came in there, and the moment I saw him, I just knew. I was just like, oh. I just had this like epiphany moment. I know. And then every time he came back into town, he'd come for coffee. And I don't know if it was for the coffee or to see me, but I just, you know, he hardly spoke English at that time either. You know, yeah. So our communication was very slow.
Et puis on est allé voir un movie. On est allé voir. Bah c'était pour les enfants.
Philippe is saying that they ended up going to watch a movie a little while after they met in that coffee shop. But they did not really watch the movie.
Et puis, nous on n'a pas trop regardé le film. Voilà.
Ah, ok, on n'a pas besoin de donner de détails.
Who knew that this kind of stories existed, where you stumble upon someone asking for directions without even speaking the same language and falling in love? Okay, I might be romanticizing their story, and Marianne and Philippe were clear. This hasn't been easy, and there's a lot of fighting going on today after getting married, having kids, and building a house. But I have to confess, there is something about their story that touches me deeply. I asked them, how did they communicate at the beginning of the relationship? Here's what they told me. All you need
is love. We didn't need to talk much. We spoke the language of love. Also, we used a lot of dictionaries.
Un peu en anglais, elle était vraiment patiente, le temps que je trouve mes mots.
You can say a lot in a few words. You know, it's more, you don't talk as quickly as you normally would.
Ça permet de te mettre à l'aise et d'enlever le stress au moment où tu cherches les mots.
I don't think people would get in multicultural relationships unless they really liked other cultures. And they really liked it because I find his differences just, I like it. Because I didn't grow up with much culture.
C'est que la personne en face, elle va faire l'effort de chercher le sens de ce que tu dis.
I think there's a way people can communicate telepathically, perhaps. And we just don't listen to that part of our bodies because we're too evolved in language.
Je sais pas, c'était une gentillesse naturelle.
Because if you know what the heart needs, then you don't need to talk.
Phil is saying that Marianne was very patient with him. She never rushed him or finished his sentences. He said that it allowed him to feel comfortable and not be stressed while he was searching for his words. Even if he was making mistakes, he was confident that Marianne would make real efforts to try to find the true meaning of what he was struggling to say. Philippe referred to that as Marianne's natural kindness. Ça réchauffe le cœur, he said, which means it warmed my heart.
Mine and Sylvie's relationship is, it has been different than my relationships with all, any of my English friends. Really? Yeah.
How? Talk to me about that.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I know her without her having to say something.
For Sylvie, that person with a natural kindness who was waiting for her here in BC was Darlene. The two women quickly became best friends.
So did you get your computer?
Oh, my computer is fucking. Oh, fait tomorrow, no, I go to the store again for give me another one.
Like Marianne and Philippe, Darlene and Sylvie had to go through the process of learning about each other differently than two people speaking the same language. This extra work, for them, has never been a deterrent.
We first met 16 years ago. Actually, she didn't speak as good as she does now. So, sometimes she'd look at me and she'd say, do you understand? And I'd,
no.
And I'd kind of look and I'd say, try it, you know, say it again. Okay, yes, now I understand what you're saying. She could speak words in English.
Okay.
But it was more a lot more basic than what she knows now.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Basically, yeah. Yeah.
But she could say basically.
Oh, I know. Come and visit me.
Like, she knew a lot of the basic things, but yeah. But to communicate lots wasn't as good.
Yeah. So then how did you spend your first night, your first weeks together? Vos premières rencontres, comment vous avez fait pour communiquer? How did you communicate?
Ben, she looked me, I look her. What's happening?
For me, her English is good, too. Only for the fact, after 16 years, you get used to the person, the way they talk.
Exactly, yeah. So that's
anyway, I have my language. My language with her, because sometimes, I need her, though. She's there. She's very, Pimi is the same too for her, yeah.
This is true, Darlene and Sylvie almost have their dialect. You can feel the closeness between the two, and it is obvious that their differences never got in the way of their relationship. At a certain point during the interview, Sylvie started to joke around. Although she and I are both francophones, I couldn't quite understand what she was saying. Ironically, Darlene understood everything without any trouble, and the funny duo started to tease me.
She's talking about the young guy.
Yes.
And she said, but I don't work anymore. I don't get that.
She don't understand the whole joke.
No, she doesn't understand all.
I told you, you have your own language, girls.
You need explication?
Nope, I did not get the joke, but this funny duo sure put a smile on my face. And not only they've put a smile on my face, but they've helped me realize something. I know how difficult it is to learn another language, and I was comforted to see that some people have the qualities it takes to support the person who's learning. I've sometimes been self-conscious about my accent, frustrated because I was searching for my words or worried that I sounded silly. Now, I understand that if some people are genuinely interested in me, they're gonna take the time and they're gonna see the real me through all the mistakes I make. It is a team work. During the interview, I saw that Sylvie and Philippe were aware of that commitment of the other. And in return, Darlene and Marianne acknowledged their hard work.
I know, because I know for a fact that Sylvie, it's easier for her to speak French.
Oh, yes.
I mean, just not naturally, no. Like, when we spend time together, she speaks English. So it's a job.
I speak in French.
Yeah,
you translate.
See, and that's one thing I respect about Sylvie the most. Is because,
excuse me.
Mind you, I guess it was a benefit for her to learn English because she came to BC, which is predominantly English, right, wherever you go. But I respect that, you know, she will speak English to me, like she's done it all these years. And yet, I don't speak French.
I'm sorry I don't speak very, very good. I don't have a big conversation. It's the same that. Because I live here, puis I like my place, puis I like the environment, the...
You can say it in French if you want.
Ouais. I'm comfortable, okay, for live here. Now is my place, is my country.
So maybe that's what happens to people who come here and don't ever learn English, is because they never ever had the intention on staying here. And back in their heart, in their mind, they always thought they would move back and move back home.
But they never.
And then they never ever did. For someone like me who finds learning another language really difficult, and I think if you come here when you're older, too, the older you are, the harder it is to learn another language. And the more, if you already have your network, why would you need to?
Marianne touches on a very important point. For many different reasons, it happens that some people never learn the language of the new place they're living in, and we should practice stop being quick to judge. Some people might need closer connection with Anglophones in order to be interested in learning English, and if they're not capable or simply don't feel the need to learn English, I don't have a big problem with that. On the opposite side, talking with Darlene and Marianne, I've learned something that surprised me.
Do you wish you would speak French?
Yes. Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Why?
Because I think it's, I think it'd be nice to be able to have more than one language.
And I wish to God that I could speak French. I took French in university. I took French all through high school. I still study French right now.
Coming from Quebec, I kind of have the preconceived idea that Anglophones were not interested in French. I was glad to hear Darlene saying that the two languages were important and that it would be great to be able to speak both. If there's more French people speaking English than English people speaking French, this is not because of their lack of interest in my mother tongue. English is a very useful language. It is becoming more and more the common way of communicating around the world. While I was growing up, I could listen to music and TV shows in English. If I work on my car, on my computer, or any technical area, it is all in English. Of course, it is more natural for me to speak English than the opposite. But for Marianne, learning French has a deeper meaning.
I want to communicate with Philippe's family so much. And in the short time they're here, I just feel like an empty book. Because it's so important to have that. I want your mother to know who I am, and I want to communicate with Philippe's family so much.
Of course, there are some great challenges to face when you're in a multicultural relationship, and communicating with the extended families is one of them. But I doubt that you could strip someone's soul away by allowing them to open a window on a whole new view of the world.
If I spoke better, I think I would get along better with his family. You know, and I really want his family to accept me, you know, and really embrace me as part of the family. And that can be hard when you can't communicate. Most of the people here speak English and French, and they make such a good effort to learn. And I think most people, I don't know, sometimes I feel judged because I don't. And I feel like the worst, you know, as a couple, you have two people, and I feel like the worst part of the couple. I don't know, maybe they feel that Philippe has lost something because he's speaking English at home, and maybe he's becoming English.
But you feel judged, you feel some people think that?
Yeah. I think they do, or that I'm taking something away from him. It's difficult when his family comes, because they barely speak, they don't speak any English, especially his mother. And I just feel like I've just stripped her soul away, you know, by making him come here and stay here.
When you learn a new language, something changes in yourself, but you don't necessarily lose something, and that's what David Lacoe explained to me.
You know, like, our cultures are so much a part of us and so much rooted into, like, who we are and our identity. But over time, like, I think that your language, I mean, identity is never anything that's stable. It shifts all the time and it doesn't necessarily stay the same throughout your whole lifespan. But I think things like language and identifying with language, it stays like quite constant when you learn a new one.
He speaks French with his mom. Like, it always goes back to the French. Like, if they ever speak, that's...
Oh, yeah. Well, when I call my mom every day.
Yeah, and it's in French.
And I speak French to her. I would never talk or speak English to my mom.
For Pierre, a French-Canadian massage therapist who moved in BC, married and had kid with Lena, an English Canadian, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, so you didn't lose anything. You're still a Quebecer, but now you're added something to your personality.
I think it only adds to your repertoire to challenge yourself and to move here. It only adds to your bag of tricks, and it adds. It doesn't take away. I don't think I've lost anything, but...
No, it's great that he has two languages.
Your language shapes the way that you see the world. So over time, as you learn more languages or you learn more about the language and the culture that's involved with that, I feel like you become a much more understanding and compassionate person through learning more than one language.
It is important for everyone to hold on and celebrate their own culture. But maybe... in this changing world, it is equally important to open our minds and our hearts to differences. The way to do that is without a culture trying to dominate the other. Instinctively, that's how it's been working for Lina and Pierre.
There hasn't been set rules, like in culturally speaking, that we've pushed. Like, do you know what I mean? Like we're...
Also, maybe one culture didn't...
overrule the other?
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, no. It's, yeah, we're on the same level.
Yeah, we try to be open-minded. I think that's the big thing, is being open-minded.
Moral of the story, we should break down the barriers of language and culture and not let them holding us back from becoming friend with a foreign neighbor, for example. We are all so divided. Language, age, race, gender, socioeconomic status, political ideologies. But really, are we all that different?
Those kids, they played together like there was no language barrier. You know, they don't need to talk. And that's what you learn, because I taught children when I spoke English. What makes a child happy in Korean or makes a child happy in, you know, Italian or whatever, is the exact same that makes a child happy in English. You know, you don't need words. Deep down inside, we're all the same people.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Camps and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.